Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul Wagner, former Brewers pitcher, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Wags, how you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I woke up to minus 10, so I'm freezing my ass off. I get in my Diet Coke explodes. You know what? I need to move south.
Hey, the right of the baseball season, I think – one of the benchmarks is the Brewers on Deck event. You're involved. You're with the alumni group, right? You're there.
Yeah. But first off, I wanted to tell Tal, hey, congratulations on filling one of those seats there in the big show there, Tal. Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you, Wags.
Yeah, and also, just to let people know, I know we've been getting a lot of response and some questions, inquiries, if you will, about Tim and Tal's doing the postgame show. The answer is yes.
Yes, still on.
It's yep. Still a go, so no worries there. But, yeah, looking forward to On Deck, Paulie. What's going on? Huge, huge impact the 2018 season had. Advanced ticket sales has sold this event out.
It's crazy. It's pretty exciting. Last year we did that VIP breakfast prior to the Brewers On Deck, and it was a big hit. And, again, that one sold out again very, very fast this year. So I look forward to sitting with about six or seven people, have a good breakfast, and then going out and covering the alumni trail as everybody hits the superstars from the 18 Brewer team.
Well, and it's amazing, Paul, because Tim and I talk about this all the time, man. 10 years ago when I started going to the event, it was at a mall. It was in the food court. They had like six guys come in, and everyone got a picture signed by all the players, and that was it. And now, for 12 hours of the day, they got guys, you know, Paul Wagner face painting with your kids and field instructions. There's anything and everything you could imagine at this event. But like you said, man, the superstars are going to be everywhere from that team last year.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a great event. It's run perfectly. There's no confusion. It's pretty much set in stone. Every player, every alumni, every coach has his itinerary. Everybody has a little you know, somebody to shuffle them around and put them in the right place at the right time. If you're going from six people sitting in a food court in a mall to right now, you've gone from, you know, that house to the penthouse.
Yeah, because you're in line to get Junior Spivey's autograph, and now it's the National League MVP and Christian Yelich in a huge event.
No, absolutely. It's going to be great success. And everybody's going to have questions. Everybody's going to want to congratulate the players. Everybody's going to want to know if they can do it again. Just like everybody, just like all of us. We're all fans. And you know what? The 2019 season is going to be very exciting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wags, we talked a lot of baseball with you, man, on this show last year and on the postgame show. And it was obviously such a special run. But as you know better than any fan watching the game, it's hard to recreate one season. The wins and losses are one thing, but the mantra of that clubhouse last year and the last couple of years has been everybody's betting against us. Nobody expects us to be here. You come a game away from going to the World Series, everybody expects you to get back to that point. Well, especially maybe not everybody, as Vegas has them at 83.5 wins and Fangraphs put them at 79. Where do you see this team slotting in the 2019 season?
You know, you're right. It is. It's tough. We always use that cliche, you got to take advantage of that window of opportunity to win. But I look at the Brewer team, there's two different mixes. First off, the way Craig managed that team was very, very unconventional down the stretch, especially with using pitchers in different situations. So can that aspect be repeated? I don't know. And then you look at the coaching staff. The coaching staff has changed. It's changed dramatically. You know, I don't know the new pitching coach, but I've known DJ for a long time. I think Derek is one of the best pitching coaches that I've known, and I've listened to, and I can actually grab a chair and sit down and listen to DJ talk about pitching and his philosophies. I used to do it even when he was still down at Vanderbilt. So, you know what? There's a different way of managing, as we saw Craig do it, and now we got different coaching and different coaching philosophies coming in. I don't know. I'm very, very – but I'm excited. I'm excited because the team was so well, did so well, and was so up for the challenge. And it seems like it's a no-brainer. It can be repeated. I think this window of opportunity isn't a small window. I think maybe about a 2 or a 3 year window. And I think that's where Mr. Stearns comes in and he fills the gaps and makes the price right for the next 2 to 3 years.
Let's talk Craig Counsell. And one of the better managers in the National League and gaining respect. But what do you think he's learned from the 2018 season? Coming so close and doing what he's doing, having the flexibility to, you know, be a little goofy with his pitching staff and going to Hader or some of these other guys or getting these magical, you know, 15 to 17 outs. What do you think is the most important thing he learned from what he went through in 18?
I think personally, just what I kind of touched on, he can be unconventional. Even though Craig has been around the game for 50 years, you know what? There's places where the game can be changed and you can go an unconventional route. I'm not sure if you can do this route in this way for a long extended period of a time. I do believe it will catch up to you eventually, but I think Craig realized that going with his gut, saving Josh for maybe removing it with his gut feeling, taking the ball away from JJ or even putting JJ back in that situation when other people questioned it. I think he's learned a lot about his gut, and his gut can tell him a lot because Craig Counsell has been around a heck of a lot of baseball, and I think that's probably the hardest thing. You lean so often on your coaches and the guys sitting next to you on the bench for reassurance on, should I pull this? Should I do this? Should we double switch here? Should I bring in lefty righty? What about the way what is the other manager going to do? Is he going to bring that righty off the bench or is he going to keep the lefty in? I think after you do it for a few years, you start to go with your gut, and instead of asking for opinions or instead of asking for direction, you ask for opinions, and then you just go with your gut.
Talking with Paul Wagner on the Wendy's Big Show for a couple of more minutes. Wags, something you just said in there, learning from either success or a mistake. I still go back, man, to that Game 7 of the CS, pulling Chacin after the two innings and then going with Hader when you don't have the lead. I still believe to this day that was one of the biggest blunders that Craig has made in his short managerial career.
But they didn't score any more runs, though.
Exactly.
From that point.
They didn't score any more runs, but when you're talking about a gut, is there such a thing when you're in that clubhouse, the Dodgers looked over and said, dude, their hammer's gone. This is our game to win now. I thought momentum completely shifted on that play. And I'm not necessarily asking for your thoughts necessarily on just that play in general, yeah. But the clubhouse feel when you see another team's superstar being neutralized for the last five innings of the game.
I don't know necessarily how the Dodgers or how the other 25 guys will look at it or their manager will look at it, but I believe that the 24 guys that we have in our clubhouse felt like, hey, this is how we do it. You can't go to game two unless you win game one. You can't do game four unless you win game three. Whether or not you have it in a bag or not, man, I've been around this game for very, very long. That little white ball will humble you to death. Once you think you got this game figured out, you're wrong. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy game. So I don't necessarily worry so much about the little enthusiasm that I give to my opponent because I know that my 25 guys feel that whoever gets the ball in that situation can stick it up someone's. And that's the way you got to feel. That's how championship teams do.
Yeah.
If you're worried, you're a championship team and you're worried about hurting or making somebody feel good or see how they, then you're in the wrong business because these 25 guys believe they can win the World Series. And I don't really care what anybody else thinks. I don't even care what horse they think they're riding on.
Three dudes in the outfield, obviously, Kane, Yelich, and Braun. In the infield, Shaw, given the fact that he plays third. Arcia at short. You go with a little bit of a platoon factor at second base between Spangenberg and HP, and there might be another name or two there. And then Zeus at first, Grandal now behind the plate. Any concerns offensively?
No, none. Nope, I don't. I don't expect Yelich to repeat. I don't think anybody does. But I think you got to expect him to be at that consistent level now that he's that type of player. Kane, great. I have a feeling, and I've said this many years in a row now, but, you know, Ryan Braun he's due. He's due for, you know, maybe 120, maybe some more games. Maybe this lights a fire under him, and he realizes that, hey, he can take care of himself. Hey, there's certain things as you get old that you just can't control, backs and arms and legs. But I'm expecting a little bit more productivity out of Ryan Braun. Catching, great. I love it. The only thing I'm concerned about is our pitching staff. And, you know, I'm curious. I've seen a lot of elbows. A lot of pitchers can come back from Tommy John. It's that shoulder. It's that shoulder that's a booger. If you think, I just want to see Jimmy Nelson. I want to see if he can get back to where he's at. And if he can, he's definitely going to be a help. But I don't think you ever have enough arms, and especially if you're contemplating even tossing that six-man rotation or 14 men in the bullpen or the pitching staff. I mean, 13 guys, you've got to have guys that can eat innings up, and that's what I want. We need some inning eaters.
Well, finally here, Paul, I'll go off that point, man. There's a guy that has eaten more postseason innings in the last two decades and dominated the postseason better than anyone, and Madison Bumgarner being a total trade chip open there. But it's going to cost you. For 1 year, what does that do to this team?
If I can get him, you don't got any inside info. Is it done deal?
No. Sadly, no. Sadly, not yet, no.
I got to weigh it. I got to see what they want. But at $12 million in free agency, if we're not going to QO him, I give them one of those starters. I prefer to hang on to Woody and Burns. If I have to pick one of the three, unfortunately, I would have to part with Freddie. But to get Madison Bumgarner, a staple, a postseason guy, a veteran, to come in for $12 million this year and non-QO him or let him go as a free agent next year, I think it's a gamble we're taking. I'd love to get something like that.
Wags, we appreciate the time, buddy. We're not going to be able to be at the VIP breakfast because, you know, Tim and I are working on these radio budgets. But we'll see you on Sunday at On Deck, man, all right?
Hey, I got one thing, though. Timmy, you go to Vegas a lot.
Yeah.
You know what? You talk like a sausage sometimes. It's like, hey, you walk into that casino that pays you out. Are you going to avoid that machine, or are you going to go back to that machine that paid you out 60 times in a row?
I like to switch it up a bit.
Man, the New England Patriots, they cover against the Chargers. They outright beat the Chiefs. If you go against the GOAT, you're just kicking yourself.
Well, Paulie, let me tell you what happened in Vegas when we went the first year. I walk in hot to trot. Guys, there's no way you can bet against Brady. Really? There's no way you can bet against Brady. It's Matt Ryan against Tom Brady. And this guy next to me right here, Tim Allen, said, but wouldn't it be so much more fun if we all were cheering for the same team?
So I talked him into betting Atlanta. And that didn't work out well. But we all bet as a group last year with Philadelphia, and we all celebrating.
Yeah, sure,
getting hammered.
Yeah, sure we were. We were doing.
And I played with Jared's dad, Jerry Goff, for a few years in baseball. Jerry was a catcher with me when I got sent down from Cleveland. We were down at AAA in Buffalo together. So it's neat to see Jerry's son Jared playing. Great quarterback going to the Super Bowl, and obviously Patty Mahomes and Junior having such a great year in Kansas City. Baseball players are coming to fruition in the football game.
Well, and two ways. Interesting. I know I said it was last one, but we lie on here all the time. What do you think about Kyler Murray deciding to go play football over baseball?
I think he should go play baseball.
I would say the same thing.
Really?
I'd say baseball. With him, I go baseball. If someone's willing to go in the top 10, if the New York Giants or someone or something like that, or somebody after that are thinking about getting him 10, 12, I just think with his size and with his skill set, I think you're better off playing a little bit of baseball first. But hey, what's in your heart is hard to determine. And if he's got it in his heart and he wants to be a football player, never bet against a man who played quarterback and won the Heisman Trophy. I can tell you that much.
That's a great point, Paul. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk on Sunday at On Deck. All right.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
There's Paul Wagner, former Brewer pitcher on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Started a renovation journey. The simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.